Just my parents. Baruch Hashem, we're gathered once again, fifth year. I want to start just by saying thank you to, first and foremost, Kadosh Baruch Hu for bringing us together again at this good time. I want to thank B'nai Yeshurun for, specifically Henry Orlinsky, for Shai Przanski for arranging that we should be able to come here tonight and try to lift up this basement / social hall. It's machlokas in the Nuschalas, what to call this room. I want to thank my brother Josh for, with a little bit of kviya from the tzibur, agreeing to serve as chazan tonight. And of course, to thank everyone who's here tonight, a tzibur that in every sense is really a tzibur, those who've been here in the past and those who are here for the first time. When you come to when we come together, Stolel, whatever that means at this point in time, it's there's a sense of tzibur, there's a sense of achdus, and I thank everyone for taking the time to join us to bring in the Yom Noram together. Just one practical note: last year at Stolel Slichos, someone forgot a sweatshirt. So in the spirit of returning to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if anyone, Mariah. Encore, if you're part of the Mariah School Choir, anyone recognizes this? There's some names on the back if you want to try to identify it, so we should be zochet to a lot of Hashavas Aveda. I have to say, it's been a very strange El. You know, you read in the Svarim, they describe what El used to be, fish trembling in the seas, and people fainting, simple people fainting in Shul, Shabbos Mevarchin and Chodesh El. I'm not talking about, it's not strange in that sense. It's foolish for us to compare ourselves to that world that once was, that El experience you read about in Sfarim and you hear about in Meisim from Tzaddikim of earlier generations. But I just found that this year, more so than other years, even for people who are experiencing El in the time period in which we find ourselves, right, in the later generations, it's been a very quick El. It's been a strange El. I don't feel strongly connected to El compared to the El's that I've experienced in my own life. So I was thinking, you know, maybe you could blame it on the calendar. It's kind of funny. We were in camp in El, and yeshiva was just starting at the end of El. And again, you know, I know not everyone here is in yeshiva. I know not everyone still goes to camp for the summer. But it's kind of a funny calendar. We're kind of rushing into Rosh Hashanah at this point. But I don't know if that's the right approach to take, to blame it on the way the calendar falls out. Remember one time I can't remember if I was in a library, I was in a bookstore, Shusri Reichman. I saw a book on the shelf. It was called This Is Real and You Are Completely Unprepared. It was a book written by a conservative rabbi, Alan Liu. Olav Shalom, he passed away a couple of years ago. And it was a book on the high holidays. This Is Real and You Are Completely Unprepared. And I remember when I saw that book, I laughed to myself and I said, Rabbi Liu, or Blue, or Alan. I said, there's probably a lot of things that we don't agree on. You know, you being a conservative rabbi, I try to be an Orthodox Jew. We probably have different hashkafas when it comes to Torah Misinai, when it comes to Torah Sheval Peh. But I think, Rabbi Liu, if there's one thing we can agree on, it's that this is real and we're completely unprepared. I think that kind of captures the feeling I've had this year, this Elul. I was speaking to someone, a young woman recently, whose father was diagnosed with something not very good, Meretz Hashem, she have refuah shlema. And she was saying that, you know, with her father's illness, Rosh Hashanah is so much more real. You grapple with it in a different way. The whole experience becomes a different type of experience. But the truth is, why does it have to be that way? Why is Rosh Hashanah not so real to us unless we're grappling with, you know, God forbid, a serious illness or something of that sort? And I think a lot of it has to do with the sleeping nature of Klal Yisrael. So what I'd like to speak about tonight, for the few minutes we have together, I want to speak about waking up. I want to speak about waking up to tshuva. The inyan of being ma'ora ourselves. To wake up, to throw off that sleepy state that we sometimes slip into. And to find a way to come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu in a very serious way. You know, by the Jewish people, sleep has a funny relationship with sleep. Gemara says in Gittin, there are 8 things that are good in small amounts, but too much of it's not good for you. The 6th thing on the list, Gemara in Gittin, Davayin, Amar Aleph, is sleep. You know, a person wakes up in the middle of the night sometimes, you're thirsty, you need to use the restroom. And as a person gets out of bed and in your sleepy state, you're stumbling to where you need to be, and you walk into a wall, you stub your toe. It's not necessarily because it's so dark in the room. But when a person's sleepy, when a person's mind isn't clear, they're unguarded. It's not safe. Or a person after a long day of work is making their way to the train, to a bus, right? And you find yourself stepping off the sidewalk, somewhat lost in your sleepy state, and all of a sudden you hear the sound of a horn and it shakes you back to reality. You step back, nearly hit by a car. When a person's sleepy, when a person's mind isn't clear, when we're not guarded in that way, we fall into dangerous situations. When Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, the angels in Shemayim wanted to daven to him. They thought he was God. They were convinced that man was God. They saw the Chelek Elokam Imal, they saw the Tzelem Elokim with which man was created, and they were convinced that this could be God. The angels, the Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah, wanted to declare Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh to Adam HaRishon. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do to remind the angels that this is just a mere man, a mortal? Kadosh Baruch Hu cast Adam into a deep sleep, and the angels very quickly lost interest in him. Because when a person's in a sleepy state, it's the polar opposite of that Chelek Elokam Imal. It's the opposite of the Neshama Tahora that Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with. All negativity comes from sleep. The Medrash says, what was the moment the Satan was created? Kadosh Baruch Hu puts Adam to sleep to create Chava, and it's in that moment, in that Tardema, the Medrash says that the Satan was created. A person makes bad decisions when they're tired. And countless studies of people have been given 2 choices of food options. When we're tired, time and again, we choose the unhealthy option because we can't think straight. We're not making rational decisions. The Dubna Magid says, you look by the Bris Bein and Basarim, Avram falls into a deep sleep. And it's at that point that Avram is told about the various gullus, the gullus of history. Says the Dubna Magid, it doesn't just happen to be that Avram is described as going to sleep, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about gullus. That sleepy state is part of the Besura on the gullus. That there's going to come a time in Jewish history, says the Dubna Magid, that the depths of the gullus is going to be when the Jewish people are fast asleep. When the Jewish people aren't alert and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're not able to think the way we're supposed to be. And when we can't think the way we're supposed to think, then the Jewish people can't be the people we're supposed to be. And the Likutei Ma'arich tells a Maisa. Says there was a Hasidish Rebbe, doesn't say who it was. He was visited by some of his Hasidim. And there was one fellow who decided he needed to leave early that year. He'd come to the Rebbe, he'd stay for an extended period of time. This Hasid came to the Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, I have to go, I can't stay, I need to leave early. So Rebbe says, Nu, what's your rush? Where are you going so soon? You just got here. You're for Shabbos, you're rushing out. He says, it's almost Yom Kippur and I need to prepare the machzor. I'm a shliach tzibur. I need to spend time preparing the machzor. And the Rebbe says to him, the machzor is the exact same machzor that it was last year. The machzor doesn't need any preparation. Nothing changed about the machzor. You need to stay here and spend time preparing yourself. The avod of these days is to prepare ourselves, to wake ourselves up, to be a little more aware and a little bit more connected. So there's a lot of ways that we could talk about. There's so many things we could speak about tonight. What the avoda of this time period is. Different aspects of our avoda system that we want to work on. But I think if we could take upon ourselves to wake ourselves up, to shake off that sleepy state, if we could just be more alert and more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than so many of the other areas of avoda system that we're struggling with. Tikkun Amidos, being connected to Tefillah, Torah, whatever it is, whatever nisyonos we're struggling with, if we could wake ourselves up, all of that would change. In 1937, there was a famous Knesset Gedola, that was held, the great conventions, many rabbanim, lay leaders traveled from around the world to be at this amazing gathering. 1937. You can imagine what the feeling in Germany was at the time. And people spoke up throughout the conference, throughout this gathering, and people offered different pieces of advice, what to do about the situation. Klal Yisrael threatened by the storming, overlooming Nazi rise in Germany. And the Panovich Rav was honored to be the last speaker at the entire event. And the Panovich Rav got up and he told the Mashal. He got up and he said, imagine a house that was on fire. And Nebuch, there's a poor fellow sleeping in his bed. And his friends see that his life is in danger and they want to save him, but they don't have the heart to wake him up. So they decide to get the bed, to carry him out while he's fast asleep, to carry the bed out of the house, the burning house. The house is mamish on flames. And they lift up the bed and they try to take it to the door and they see it doesn't fit through the door. So someone says, let's get a carpenter, you can widen the door. Someone says, there's no time, let's break through the door. Someone says, why don't we try to take him out the window? Until finally one wise person says, why don't we just wake him up and leave the bed behind? Says the Panovich Rav, throughout this conference, throughout the Knesset Gedolah, people are offering different pieces of advice, what to do about the situation, the matzav that's brewing in Germany. Maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. Says the Panovich Rav, if Klal Yisrael would just understand, if they would wake themselves up, if they would stop living in this sleepy existence, if we would come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and detach ourselves from Chet, then all the problems would automatically take care of themselves. So I'm sharing this with you because these are my feelings as hell. I hope it's relevant to you. I hope it resonates with you. Maybe everyone's having an amazing El. I hope so. But this idea of getting ourselves to where we need to be, of being emotionally connected to these days, of being alert and having my mind connected to the avoda that lies ahead. The Jewish people live with the Shulchan Aruch. Every bit of our life is governed by the Shulchan Aruch. How you wake up, how you put on your shoes, how you eat, how you sleep. Everything in the life of a Jew is governed by the Dalet Halakim of the Shulchan Aruch. So if you look at the opening halacha, the first thing a Jew needs to know. Shulchan Aruch writes, the very opening siman of the Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Or HaChaim, the opening line of the Shulchan Aruch is Yizgaber Ka'ari Lamud Baboker Lavod Esbaro. A person needs to wake up in the morning and jump out of bed for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you'll say it's the first thing in the Shulchan Aruch, it's the first thing you encounter every day. It's not true. Because the life of a Torah Jew starts at night. Vayar Vayivoker. So seemingly HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have made it in such a way. Klal Yisrael following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lead should have made the Shulchan Aruch in such a way that the Shulchan Aruch starts with the halachos of night. Why does the Shulchan Aruch start Yizgaber Ka'ari Lavod Esbaroker? And I think what Rav Yosef Karo, and I think what all the tzaddikim throughout the generation who are working towards compiling this book that we live and die by, is telling us that to the degree that you get up in the morning the right way, to the degree that a person's awake and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, to that degree a person's going to be a successful Jew. If I get out of bed in the morning, how do I get out of bed in the morning? How alert am I? How aware am I of my surroundings? Do I feel that I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not so easy for us sometimes. Yisgaber Ka'ari. I'll speak for myself. It's not such an easy thing to jump out of bed in the morning. You know it's not such an easy thing. You read the P.S.S. the Rebbe's Chovas HaTalmidim in the ninth parak. And he describes, gives an eitzah. How should a person struggles to get up in the morning? P.S.S. the Rebbe says, you know what you should do? Take a chair and put it at the edge of your bed and sleep with your feet on the chair. And that way when you wake up in the morning, you can kick the chair out from under your feet and your feet will fall to the ground and you're halfway up already. My wife doesn't like when I sleep on the couch. She's not going to... I don't think she's going to go for that. I start setting up this chair in the bedroom with my feet hanging off. Right? But it's megalitas that people are struggling with this. We need to come up with ideas, ways to wake ourselves up. And it's such a basic and important halacha. It's the foundation of halacha. We know that. We know how important it is. And yet we still struggle with it. We don't feel connected to it. Rav Moshe Stern, Mashgiach of Kamenitz, once walked into his Rebbe, Rav Elie Lopian. He brought him some breakfast in the morning and he saw Rav Elie was very tired. He says, Rebbe, why are you so tired this morning? Rav Elie said, I woke up at 3 o'clock and I took it upon myself. Yizgaber Ka'ari, whatever time I wake up, that's when I get up. He says, davening wasn't for 4 hours, but I got out of bed. So he went to davening, he came back, he's sitting in his room waiting for breakfast, he was exhausted. So Moshe Aaron Stern says, so why don't you just go back to sleep for a few minutes? He says, because I'm going to get to Shemayim one day, after 120 Mirtz Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me a halacha test. He's going to pull off the volume off the shelf of the Shulchan Aruch. Hashem's going to open up the Shulchan Aruch and say, let's begin the examination. Question number one, Sif Aleph, Yizgaber Ka'ari. Did you fulfill that? He says, you want me to get out on the first question? So we understand it's a serious thing. We understand, we get that it's the first thing in Shulchan Aruch, and yet we struggle with it. We're not awake, we're not so alert. Some people it comes easy. I remember as a kid, we went to my cousin's in Brooklyn for Shabbos. I remember as a kid thinking this was the coolest thing in the world. My cousin had this amazing ability to like jump up out of bed in the morning and be dressed in like 5 seconds. I was only a few years younger than him, but I thought that was like so cool. I had to like learn. How do you do that? And he was like out of bed and in his Shabbos clothes and ready to go and like literally in a matter of seconds. And so for some people it comes, it's more natural. It comes easily. Same thing is true in the spiritual world. You have some tzaddikim this time of year, it's easy. Elul is easy to feel. Rosh Hashanah is easy to feel. The Aseret Yetzirah of the Rambam says that for those people who are Beinonim, who need those extra 8 days, they need that time to get themselves ready. But the Tzaddikim by Rosh Hashanah, they're signed and sealed, it's done. But I think for most of us, probably for the majority of us, we're those Jews, those Beinonim who are caught in limbo for those 8 days. We need a little more time, Rabbona Sholem. I'm not ready, I'm not quite there yet. I'm still waking myself up. I think I probably learned this lesson best in Camp Masorah a couple years ago. A couple of people here may have been part of this chevra. We won't mention anyone by name. But I had the unfortunate challenge of waking up the sports staff for davening in the morning. And the lifeguards. You could show up 5 days in advance. It wasn't going to work. So I'd come down. You know, at the beginning of the summer, I'd come down a little earlier. As time went on, I just gave up, basically. But you could come literally an hour early, right, and start to wake them up. Right? And then, again, and then again. And I was thinking, trying to be Malam Mitzchus, you know, it's like straight out of the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. That the Chassidim HaRishonim, it takes an hour, they would spend an hour getting ready for davening. This chevra took an hour to get ready for davening. And what does it say? Chassidim HaRishonim, HaYishon Sha'achas, and then Mispalin. Mispalin means Shmon Esrei. This chevra, you'd spend an hour trying to get them out of bed, and they still show up just in time for Shmon Esrei. It's straight out of the Mishnah in Brachos. Right, but you try. And I would try, and I would encourage. I would give a little more time and a little more time. Rav Moshe Shalom is like that also. You know, you could have Rav Moshe Feinstein standing by the side of your bed. Rav Moshe, when his kids were little, he used to take their clothing and put it on the radiator to warm it up in the morning, get them dressed in bed, so it would be a little easier for them to get out of bed. You could have Rav Moshe Feinstein waking you in the morning. It's still not so easy to get out of bed. So Rav Moshe Shalom comes to the world this time of year, and he says it's time for the Jewish people to wake up. Kodesh Baruch Hu Kivyachol puts his hand on our shoulder, and he gives us a little nudge, and he says it's time to wake up. I didn't send you in a neshama to Olam Hazeh to sleep your way through it. I sent you there as a shliach. I gave you a piece of myself, that chelek elokam yimal. I'm asking you to try a little harder, to get up a little bit more. Because Baruch Hu knows we don't jump out of bed right away. So again, you have some people who get the message right away. The truth is, you look in the Svar, I'm already from Chodesh Av. You don't have to wait for El, you don't have to wait for Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to wait for Yom Kippur. From Chodesh Av already, a person's supposed to be getting ready. There's a vart that's brought, Kajitzer Magid brings, in the Vodas Yisrael. Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, it's better to walk behind a lion than to walk behind a woman. For tznius reasons. But the Kajitzer Magid explains, the mazel, the astrological sign for the month of Av is the lion. The mazel for the month of El is the Besula. The Isha Besula, the young, innocent girl. It's better to walk behind a lion than to walk behind an Isha. Means why do you have to wait for El? Who says you have to wait for El? You have to wait for El to officially arrive to do tshuva. Tshuva is a mitzvah all year round. So if we're smart, we wake up earlier. We start in Chodesh Av, ready to get ourselves ready. There was a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, he's known as the tzaddik of Ranana. Tzaddik of Ranana, Rav Yitzchak Cohen Hoberman. The Talmud of the Shem Yishmuel. He learned by the son-in-law of Rav Chaim Brisker. A special Jew, survived the Holocaust. He was a rav in Germany actually, after the war for a couple of years. Came to Eretz Yisrael, he was known as the tzaddik of Ranana. A Baal Mofes, a Nister, Rav Shach wrote in his Haskama to his Sefer. The Ben Laoshri is the name of the Sefer. Rav Shach wrote in his Haskama, this is a person who's abundant in Torah knowledge, in Nigla, in Nistar. So he writes in his Sefer, Ben Laoshri, Parshas Re'ei. He says, he was connected to the Ger Rebbe, connected to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says, I heard from the Beis Yisrael of Ger, explaining the Pasuk in Parshas Re'ei, L'shichno tidrashu vasa shama. Sometimes the people wait. We wait. We want to wait for that right moment to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tidrashu, the month of being Doresh Hashem, is the month of El. But why do you have to wait for El? Who says, where's the halacha you have to wait for El to wake yourself up? L'shichno tidrashu, the shachin, the neighbor of El, Chodesh Av. You can already start waking yourself up. L'shichno tidrashu v'as Hashem. If you get serious, if you get yourself out of that slumber in the month of Av, and you come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then maybe you'll be ready. Some people do a better job once El arrives. Sfaradim already begin at the beginning of Chodesh El. Ashkenazim have a little bit of work to do, some catching up to do. sitting down, it's Chesh B'niyaz. From this point, it's 100 hours to Rosh Hashanah. So the hour is late, and there's a lot to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should wake us up. I was thinking this week, what are some of the most embarrassing moments in Jewish history? What are the moments in world history we're least proud of? Adam and Chava, Itzadas, maybe the Egel Azav, Mechiras Yosef. I want to think about two together. I want to think about two moments in Jewish history, which I think could have been the most embarrassing moments in our history. The first one was by Kabbalah Satara. There was no greater moment. The entire universe was waiting for Kabbalah Satara. 2,448 years, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is finally here. He's ready to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael overslept. Now I know there's many beautiful explanations in Pnimiyas HaTorah why Klal Yisrael overslept. It was with Kavana. There's all sorts of beautiful, deep explanations. But Pasha Pshat, Klal Yisrael overslept on the morning of Kabbalah Satara and almost missed out on the greatest moment of world history. You know what a busha that is? To not be awake on the morning of Kabbalah Satara, the greatest day in world history, to show up late to shul, to barely make it, if not for Moshe Rabbeinu. Had Moshe not come around and woken up Klal Yisrael, what would have been? You know, there's a joke they tell in yeshivas. Jewish people have an interesting relationship with sleep. You could say Kabbalah Satara was on Shabbos, right? The Gemara says, L'chol HaDeos, Kabbalah Satara was on Shabbos. So Shabbos is the beginning of sleeping Jews. A Shabbos afternoon shluch, we're very makbid on that. As far as I say, Shabbos is Rosh HaTevos, Sheinu B'Shabbos Tanug. It's a beginning to sleep on Shabbos. So they say a joke in the yeshivas. It's actually, they don't say it in the yeshivas. But it's the chevra hangs out, you know, outside drinking coffee during, while everyone else is in the yeshiva. This is the joke they say outside the yeshivas. And they say, so it's a yeshivish joke. They say that if the Gemara says that sleep is the 60th of death, so can you imagine how geshmak death must be? That sleep's already so geshmak. A little bit of a sick joke. But Klal Yisrael, we're very makbid on sleep. So it's Shabbos morning. Klal Yisrael, we dive a little later on Shabbos morning. It's brought in the Ramah. It's a halacha. But Pashup Shah, Klal Yisrael overslept on the morning of Kabbalah Satorah. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not come along, it would have been a tragedy. A second example. Second disaster that nearly took place many years later. Not only did we almost lose out on Kabbalah Satorah, we almost lost our lives. Klal Yisrael was almost destroyed by being sleepy. Haman comes to Achashverosh, and he says, Yeshno Am Echad. There's this one nation that's Mefuzar Mefurad. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Yeshno Am Echad. There's an Am Echad that's Yeshno, that's Yeshenim in a mitzvos. They're sleepy people. They're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvos. And therefore, God's not connected to them. When they're sleeping, their God is sleeping. We can take care of them. We can destroy them. And Achashverosh is convinced of it. And the Medrash says that moment, the Medrash quotes about that moment in time, the Pasuk in Tehillim, saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ura, Lama Tishan Hashem, Hashem, why are you sleeping? We need your help. They're accusing you of sleeping. Hakitza Al Tiznach LaNetzach. Hashem, if you don't wake up in this moment, it's all over. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not waking up till you wake up. Baruch Hashem, we had Tzaddikim in that generation. We had the Mordechais, the Esthers, who could rouse the people from their sleepy state. Balailahu Nididash Nas HaMelech. The Melech woke up. Why did the Melech wake up? Because Klal Yisrael woke up at the last minute. And we were able to save ourselves at the last minute. Again, the Medrash in Esther quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. Vayikatz ki Hashem Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu woke up like someone who was sleeping, but it was at the last minute. We almost lost everything once again. So the question we have to ask ourselves this time of the year, seeing the danger of sleep, seeing how challenging it is to wake ourselves up, to have a true Esorus to these days, the question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we wake ourselves up? What can we do to wake ourselves up? My wife always yells at me, I don't give enough practical advice, and this year I have no practical advice. I have zero practical advice how to do it. But I think, at the very least, I can show you that these days are days where we're supposed to be awake. And maybe there are some ways we can slowly begin to wake up. There's a letter printed from the Sfas Emes in his writings by El. Sfas Emes writes in a letter, Ein min ha-yosher lishon b'sheinus v'tardemus olam hazeh. It's not yosha, it's not proper for a person to sleep away life in this world. And I was thinking, Sfas Emes writes this letter dafka in the context of Chodesh El, that a person who's going through El in a sleepy state is not going to experience El. Why is that so? I thought you could say the following. We know you look in Sfar, one of the Ramazim that's brought, one of the Rashi Tevos that hints to El is a pasuk by the Ir Miklat. By the Ir Miklat it says, Ina liyado v'samti lecha. Rashi Tevos Elo. Ina liyado v'samti lecha. Aleph lamed vav lamed Elo. But I was thinking, what's the halacha by an Ir Miklat? Gemara says in Makos and Daf Yud, that if a person goes into an Ir Miklat, most of the Ir Miklat, 42 out of 48 of the Ir Miklat, if you go into the Ir Miklat b'li das, it doesn't work for you. That sanctuary, that safe haven doesn't work for you. The Ritva explains, what's an example of going into an Ir Miklat b'li das? A person sitting in a caravan, it drives into the Ir Miklat, he's fast asleep. The Gola Adam can come and kill such a person. That's not halacha. Why? Because the Ir Miklat can only protect the person if he's awake. Elul can only work for you if you're awake. Ein mina yosher. It's not proper. It's not seichel dik. It doesn't make sense if you're to sleep away Elul. And if the Zazema said that about Elul, and the Zazema said that about our lives, so Alachas Kama Kama, you come to Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to sleep through it, Chas V'Shalom, you lose out on everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a chance. This is the avod of these days, to wake ourselves up. To prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm alert, I'm awake. I'm not going to allow that gullus state that was described to Avram by the Bris Ben Rasarim to take over my life. I'm not going to allow Chayt, the Satan who was created from that moment when Adam HaRishon was sleeping. I'm not going to allow that to take over my life. And I think with this Yisod, now we can understand everything that we're about to encounter during these days. It starts with Slichos. You think about Slichos. What's the point of Slichos? So you'd say, Pashup Shah, we're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're begging Mechila. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're desperate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a chance. We want to start over. We're so sorry for the things that we did. But the truth is, would we need to say so many piyutim? Do I really have to say again and again, so many piyutim, to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm serious about being sorry? I'll tell you a mice I heard from a relative of the Reb Nitzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The Reb Nitzer Rebbe used to daven slichos at very, very late hours. And he was very makbid that the people who would join him, it wasn't a show, you couldn't come just to watch. You had to be someone who came to daven slichos. If you daven slichos already, he didn't let you into the minyan. So it happened one time, there was a young man, he was a relative. Relative of the Reb Nitzer Rebbe. I heard this from this relative. He said he came to daven by the Reb Nitzer Rebbe. Earlier that night, he had gone to shul. And he started to say slichos. Then he decided, you know, I'm going to go to the Reb Nitzer Rebbe tonight. He said half a line of slichos. He came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was going around the room making sure that everyone here is here to actually say slichos, not just to observe. I didn't allow such a thing. And he says to this young man, he says, did you say slichos already? So he says, no. So he says, you said slichos already. I know you said slichos already. So he said, Rebbe, it's true, I went to shul, but I said one line, I changed my mind, I decided to daven by the Rebbe. All I said was, L'cha Hashem etztakav, alonu boshes upon him. That's it, that's all I said. Rebbe Tzvi said, you said slichos already, you're done. You don't have to say anything more. So if that's true, it could be that young man was such a tzaddik. But if it's true that really a few sincere words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get the job done, so why do we spend hours upon hours saying slichos? And I think the answer is pashut. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to come out at some crazy hour, late at night or very early in the morning, and I'm going to show you how awake I am. I'm going to show you that chayt and gullus and that sleepy state, that's not me anymore. I don't live in that world anymore. So many of the Svarim HaKadoshim ask, why do we dafka start slichos on Motzei Shabbos? Right? There's an Inyan, we highlighted in the opening slicha that we say tonight. That dafka on Motzei Shabbos, we come before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the answer is based on a piece of Torah from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman writes in Torah Kuf Yud Zayin, a piece that begins with the words, Ha'inyan shekasha lishon b'motzei Shabbos. The Inyan that people have a hard time falling asleep on Motzei Shabbos. And Rabbi Nachman explains why in general we stay up very late on Motzei Shabbos. But now we understand, why do we start slichos on Motzei Shabbos? Because if the whole Inyan of slichos is to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm awake, what better time to begin than Motzei Shabbos? We're trying to show Hashem, I'm going to come out here at crazy hours to show you that I'm not falling asleep. I'm not going to sleep on the job anymore. You're not going to have to work so hard to wake me up, to commit myself to serving you. From Slichos, we go to Rosh Hashanah. What's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah? The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is Tekiyah Shofar. And what's the point of Tekiyah Shofar? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah in the third parak. Afal pisha Tekiyah Shofar Rosh Hashanah gezeras hakasuv remez yeshba. Klomar, ur yeshein mishinaschem. Jewish people, wake yourselves up. That's the remez of the Shofar. V'nirdamim heikitzu mitirdamaschem. V'chipsu maaseichem. Make a cheshbon nefesh. Wake yourself up. I want to read you a lashon from the Sefer Melchamos Yehuda. Listen to how he explains this Rambam. Rav Mordechai Yehuda Lubarn. V'yesh lefarish. As mashmaos shal sheina v'tardema mibechina ruchis. It's not just that we're physically waking ourselves up with the sound of the shofar. It's a spiritual overhaul. We're waking ourselves up from the sleepy state of ruchnius. Shetzar chayachayim agashmiim umerutas chayolam hazeh mashkichum asichim daito shal adam mitachlis yiridas anasham leguf. Because life in this world, even a person who's trying to do a good job, you fall asleep. There's hesach adas, that's reality. The neshama and the guf, loses itself. There's no guarantee that you're going to be awake when you're doing a mitzvah. How many times we put our tefillin in the morning, half asleep? How many times do we come to shul for a Shabbos davening, right, and we're still barely awake? How many times do we do a chesed for a friend, but we're not really there? Right, this is the sleepy state, even b'shas mitzvos. Ki hashpas haguf hachomri mu'revis gam binyanim ruchniyim. Because the guf, that's the nature of the guf. It's constantly falling asleep. V'zeh tachlis hashofar. La'or es ha'adam mehesach hadas hazeh. The whole avodah of the shofar is to wake a person up from that spiritually sleepy state. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. To convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're really awake. And it's not going to happen again. The Gemara asks in Rosh Hashanah, why is it that we blow shofar twice? We blow when we're seated, we blow when we're standing. Tosfos, Rashi, different explanations. Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi. We're trying to trick the Satan. We're trying to trick the Satan. How are we tricking the Satan? We want him to panic when he hears the second shofar blast. We want him to think that maybe it's the shofar of Gula. So all the Svarim ask a very simple question. And what happened last year? He knows we blow twice. The shofar, it's clearly not the shofar of Gula. The Satan's not that forgetful. So he knows the second shofar blast is not the shofar of Gula. Explains the Shemin HaTov. The second shofar blast could be the shofar of Gula. Because if we internalize the first shofar blast, which are coming to wake us up, if we would actually wake ourselves up and stop doing averos and commit ourselves to Torah and mitzvos, so there's no reason that second shofar blast couldn't be the shofar of Gula. But it's all tali on how awake we are. This is the idea that the Shulchan Aruch writes, based also on the Yerushalmi. You're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Person shouldn't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. What's the pshat? Again, Rabbonu Shalom, I'm awake. And from Rosh Hashanah we come to Yom Kippur. Again, continuing with the Slichos in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, showing ourselves that we can get up at crazy hours. Rabbonu Shalom, we're alert, we're awake, we're not falling asleep again. We come to Yom Kippur, the night that the Kohen Gadol spends the entire night awake. They don't let him sleep. If he's falling asleep, they smack him around. Literally, they smack him. They snap in front of him. Wake up, this is no time for sleeping. You're the Shliach of Klal Yisrael. We're trying to convince Rabbonu Shalom that we're awake. And of course, we read the chilling words of Sefer Yonah, where Yonah, who's running from the Rabbonu Shalom, and he's hiding at the bottom of the ship, and the captain of the ship comes to him and says to Yonah the famous words, Malach HaNirdam, how could you be sleeping at a time like this? So the whole avoda of these days, from Slichos to Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the whole avoda is to show the Rabbonu Shalom that I'm not going back to that world of Tardema, that world of Chet, that world of Galus, that world of showing a lack of interest and appreciation for the Neshama Tahor inside of us. I'm not going to allow the guf to call the shots anymore. There's just one little problem. Problem is that as much as the mitzvos hayom, in less than 100 hours from now, we'll be hearing Tekiyah Shofar, as much as the shofar is that cry, that call, please, for Bono Sholem, wake me up, right? The shofar is Hashem screaming to us, my precious child, wake up and stay awake already. The problem is the shofar doesn't work so well anymore. And the Gemara in Yoma describes that certain avodas that were done in the Beis HaMikdash had lotteries. They never made a lottery when it came to the first avoda of the morning. What was the first avoda of the morning? A person had to get up early, a Kohen had to decide to get up early, to show up on time, and to remove the ashes from on top of the Mizbeach. They assumed that no one's going to show up for that. No one's going to get up early. So they didn't have to make a lottery. Maybe one Kohen will show up, maybe two. They'll have a race, the Mishnah is described in Masechas Yoma. Because no one's interested in getting up early. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. What about the lottery that they have for the people in charge of putting the fats and the limbs on the Mizbeach? If you had that job, you had to stay up all night watching over that carbon to make sure that it burns properly. So you see that you do have lotteries for things that require people to stay up. Says the Gemara, there's a big difference between staying up and getting up. Staying up's not so hard. Once I'm up already, to stay awake late into the night, people tend to be pretty good at that. Getting up's a different story. No one's interested in getting up. Writes the Musar HaMishnah, explaining this Mishnah. Why is it that the shofar doesn't work anymore? Why is it that in the early days, shofar resonated so loud and clear with us? In the earlier generations, a Jew would hear the shofar and a Jew would fall into line, know exactly what he or she needs to do. And today we hear the shofar, it barely resonates with us. They felt the shofar in their kishkas. And not a single one of us is moved by it. You see people at the end of davening, they're sitting there texting on their cell phones, right? While someone's blowing shofar in the month of El. It doesn't resonate with us. We don't respond to it in the same way. What's the pshat? Says the Musar HaMishnah. V'atshuva al-zehi. Kinei milifnim haya am er tamid levod esaborei. In the earlier generations with Klal Yisrael was still awake. So all we needed the shofar to do was to keep us awake. It's easier to stay awake when you're already awake. Masha'en kenata. Kisha'am yesheinim v'tzrichim laheir osam mitoch shenasam. Ze'ola b'koshi gadol. But now that Klal Yisrael, in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, in the end of times, has fallen asleep. Now that Klal Yisrael is fast asleep, the shofar is not enough to wake us up anymore. It doesn't work for us. So we could say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you want from us? What more do you want from us? How do you expect us to wake ourselves up? We have the greatest excuse for Klal Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam, we're fast asleep. The shofar doesn't work. What do you expect from us? It's a beautiful excuse to come into Rosh Hashanah with. And therefore, if I don't change, if I'm the same person I was last year, I have a perfect excuse. There's only one problem. You know why the excuse doesn't work? The Gemara says that if a person commits themselves to do a mitzvah, and they fall asleep, they're not able to do the mitzvah, onus rachmana patre. The greatest onus, the greatest excuse that a person has, is I was supposed to do something, but I fell asleep. That's the greatest excuse we could possibly make. There's one exception to that rule, onus rachmana patre. The Cheshek Shlomo writes in Meseches Tamar, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. He says if a person's job is to stay awake, if that's the mitzvah, you can't claim I fell asleep. You can't say I fell asleep. When a guard in the Beis HaMikdash was expected to stay awake, and he fell asleep on the job, he couldn't say, Rabbono Shel Onas Rachmana Patri, I fell asleep. Your job is to stay awake. So my friends, with 2 minutes till we daven Slichos together, we have a major problem. The shofar doesn't work anymore. We don't have the excuse that we're too sleepy. The avoda of these days is to be awake. The slichos is supposed to wake us up. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to wake us up. Yom Kippur is all about the Kohen Gadol, the shliach of Klal Yisrael, showing the Rabbono Shel Olam on behalf of Klal Yisrael. We're awake. We're alert. So what are we supposed to do? And I think I have a little bit of charata that I didn't speak enough about this last year, but I think that explains exactly what every single person in this room is here to do tonight. Now, when we started having this type of slichos, a slichos that's filled not only with the pachar of these days, and these days are a pachar. These are days of Yira. But to fill that avoda with Ava as well. What's a Jew supposed to do when the ears don't hear anymore? When the shofar doesn't work anymore? When Klal Yisrael has fallen asleep? The Pasuk says, V'haya Ekev Tishmun. In the Ikvus of the Mashiach, V'haya is the Lashon of Simcha. V'haya Ekev Tishmun. Sometimes you have to involve your Ekev. The Ekev is the heel, it's the lowest part of man. This is the lowest generation, this is the end of times. But V'haya Ekev Tishmun. If your ear is not listening, there could still be a simcha. There could still be another way for us to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam to hear His call. And that is to involve the Ekev. That's to have a slichos. A slichos that's filled with singing. A slichos that's filled with clapping, with jumping, with dancing. That if my ears are too deaf, if the Arlas HaOzen is so thick that we can't hear the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore, to involve our entire body in it. And then maybe, by Ekev Tishmun, then maybe the Ikvus of the Mashiach, maybe us Jews at the end of time will finally hear a little something. I want to end with a story that I saw, a sefer called Fallen Leaves. It's written by the grandfather of one of my students. Describes stories of the Holocaust, the partisans. It describes the fall of 1942. Fall of 1942, the Germans were already taking over. And there was a fellow by the name of Rav Yosef. He had a young son, Yisrael, and the two of them were being marched by the Germans out to the forest to be killed. And in the moment of tremendous courage, he grabbed his youngest child, as the rest of the family went to the slaughter. He grabbed his little Yisrael and he picked him up and he carried him off. He raced off into the forest, ducking between the German bullets. And he found himself in the forest and he teamed up with a group of partisans. This was the fall of 1942. As winter arrived, every person who was hanging out in that cabin in the woods decided they need to find a better shelter for the winter. Only problem was, no one was interested in taking this Rav Yosef and his little son Yisrael. No one wanted the child in their house. It was too dangerous. And they promised they would come back for him, and one by one, the members of this little cabin, this little hut in the forest, started to disappear. Until winter came, and it was just Rav Yosef and his little son Yisrael. Some of the people from his hometown promised to help find a place for him and his son. Meanwhile, they had left one by one until only Yisraelka and his father remained in the cabin. What were they to do now? A few days passed, dark days followed by terrifying nights. The winds raked the cabin from all sides as if to blow away the last shelter left to these unfortunates. Every day, Rabbi Yosef waited for the friends to come back and help him. Then a fierce snowstorm struck. The story goes on. It describes the snow was getting stronger. Their food supply was getting smaller. And his son was on the verge of giving up. Help must arrive soon, he thought. If not, with horror, Rabbi Yosef saw his child growing weaker by the day. Yisroelka lay down on the damp, cold ground, his eyes closed. Suddenly, Rabbi Yosef had an idea. He grabbed the boy, shook him, and made him stand up. Yisroelka, wake up, get off the ground, run around. Don't stay in one place. You have to keep warm. Let's play catch. Come on, don't worry, Hashem will not forsake us. Help will come, he'll save us. Rabbi Yosef cried with the last of his strength. But father, the wind is so strong, it hurts. There's snow all over. Who'll be able to get to us? I'm hungry. My head hurts. It's cold. Stop it. Don't talk like that. A Jewish boy must not lose his courage. We have a great God, Yisrael. Trust in Him. The Torah says, even as I walk through the shadow of death, I will not fear, for Thou art with me. Don't worry, Yisrael. But father, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want a piece of bread, a drink of water. So put some snow in your mouth. It'll make you feel better. There, bend down and take a bit of snow. Just like this. Remember how our ancestors gathered mun from the ground when they wandered in the wilderness. The Torah says the mun was the tastiest food in the world. Father, why can't Hashem send us some mun? I'm so hungry. I'm so sleepy. Don't lie down, Yisrael. Run around. You must keep warm. You know what? We'll hold hands and dance just like we did on Simchas Torah. Remember when we danced in the village with the Torah? We held hands and danced around with the Torah. We dance because Hashem has given us His holy book to teach us wisdom, justice, and kindness. Dance now, Yisrael. Hold my hands and be happy. Hashem will not forsake us. Father, where's the Torah? Where is Hashem? Why isn't He helping us? Dance, Yisrael. Dance. Run. Don't stand still. Pretend it's Simchas Torah. Pretend it's Simchas Torah. Around and around they danced, father and son, holding hands. Yisrael was ready to collapse. Outside, the storm was still blowing. But still the two dance, shaking, tottering, holding each other up like two stumbling drunks. Dance, be glad, we have a powerful God. We have the Holy Torah, of Yosef cried out. I can't dance anymore, Father. My head hurts. I want to lie down and rest. Dance, rejoice, and be glad on Simchas Torah. They tottered a little longer in this pitiful dance, the boy clinging to his father's outstretched hands. The room was reeling around them. We will rejoice on Simchas Torah. We will rejoice in the Torah. Happy are they who have been chosen by God. This dance... The story is called The Last Dance in the Cabin. This dance saved their life. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. As we dance this final dance together, as we come to these days of Slichos, and we show Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're so awake, we're so alert, we're so connected. Mir Hashem, as we dance in the Achras Hashanah, in the month of El, one last time, Ba'achdus, together, to bring in these days, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that our neshamos should stay warm. Our souls should stay alert. We should avoid that world of sleep, that world of gullus, that world of chet. And Mirat Hashem will be zocha as we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be zocha to give us the ksivach simetova. We should be zocha to see the coming of Mashiach and the gula shlema b'mehera b'meinu.